It is hour number one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Future Tuesday, where we hopefully leave behind some of the depressing news of the day and get into something that really creates a little better future for us all.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Go, Dr. Future.
And speaking of look forward to, we looked forward to a couple of parties this last weekend, starting with the KSCO party.
Oh, I'll tell you, the holidays took such a beautiful start when we arrived at the KSCO party, the annual party at Severino's. This time, just the KSCO people. And boy, everybody was just in rare form. It was such a fun gathering.
It was. We sat one seat away from Georgia and Charlie. Pretty rip-roaring crowd. The other side was the head of the table.
That's right. And Kay and Michael, of course, was proud to do a little karaoke for us all.
Yeah, I've got many of these recorded. These immortal moments we share with our future listeners.
I have to say, the dancing was just off the charts.
That's true. We did have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, not just us. And boy, There is a whole new crop of KSCO singing talent. You'd think talk show hosts wouldn't have so much singing talent, but they do.
Go figure, huh?
It was pretty fun.
And then, of course, after that one ran down, we went to the big party on Friday night. Merry Pranksters were in town for the 50th golden anniversary of the very famous electric Kool-Aid acid test, which happened in Soquel.
Right.
50 years ago, November 27th. And it was standing room only over at the very big music hall, the Don Quixote Music Hall in Felton. Quite a scene there. People from all over the Bay Area. And interestingly enough, we met these two guys who are now living in the spot where the original acid test took place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh? It's now an apartment complex across the street from the restaurant called the Silver Spur.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Silver Spur, which is a great breakfast restaurant. If you've never been there, it's definitely one of the great ones.
Hey
MZ.
We have a rare visitor these days.
Yeah.
MZ himself.
Dude,
how
the
you
singer,
doing, MZ?
Huh? The
you
Monster Mash.
Down? Sing us some karaoke. No.
It was disgraceful, wasn't it? You guys were very, very kind.
Polite.
Very polite. That's the word.
Yeah, well, it's because those drinks were so strong, Michael. You know, I have to say.
You had a great bartender.
So you really videoed two of those things, right?
Yes, you especially.
Are they posted?
No.
Because you're ashamed.
Should we post them on
editing. They need
on your Facebook
editing.
Feed?
Huh?
We can post them on your Facebook feed if you want.
See how many likes you get. It's up to you.
You guys decide.
Okay.
Oh, you give it to us?
We'll do.
Okay. Critique, though.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, maybe a medley. Great. A little pull out the best of. Yeah, it was a good holiday
Thank
weekend.
Thank you so much, MZ. That was a beautiful holiday party. Again. Every year. So, beyond the kickoff of the party season, the holiday season here, from Thanksgiving to the KSCO holiday party to the 50-year anniversary of the electric Kool-Aid acid test.
You know, they didn't call it Kool-Aid.
What did they call it?
They just
dynamite.
The acid test.
It was dynamite. Oh, the acid test, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Santa Cruz has so many things to celebrate, huh?
It does, doesn't it? It's really, well, you see, it is part of our character to enjoy life here, and I think that's part of our job. There's so many unhappy parts of the world. We need to set an example.
That's true. And at the risk of being cliche here, which I know I am absolutely a dedicated optimist. Not that I turn a blind eye to the suffering of the world, but it's really true that the media distorts the amount of suffering and tilts us all in the direction of fear and contempt for others and amplifies whatever of those emotions are native within us. And somebody has got to stand up for our right to live a happy life and to live a life that is not guided by every single tragedy. You know?
Yeah, I think the tragedies just help us make things better because we pay attention and then do something about it, hopefully. And if you stop and look at it and compare it to, say, the other creatures on this planet, especially those of our size, like the great apes, we are far more successful. We have like 7 billion people. Great apes are basically almost extinct, comparatively.
Yeah. But, you know, I believe in empathy and I believe in being good stewards of the earth and being conscious of all of the harms that we can perpetrate. But how come we don't have more stories about problems being solved and sharing the wisdom of good ideas that make it fun to take care of the planet or make it cool to have emotional literacy instead of dysfunctional literacy?
Solution-based concepts?
Yeah, yeah. How come we can't media to that kind of focus?
Well, we can. Let's try it. Let's try it. Okay. This week in the Hacker News.
Okay, let's hear what that is.
Okay.
Where Hackers lead the way.
Security in a serious way is their subtitle.
Okay.
They're planning a big party December 11th. It's called ISIS Trolling Day.
ISIS Trolling Day,
yeah,
okay.
Sponsored by Anonymous. They declared total war against ISIS, and they took down thousands of Twitter and social media accounts used by ISIS, and they disrupted their primary communications platform, and then they replaced one of ISIS's websites with a Viagra ad. Uh-huh. Now they have declared December 11th to be ISIS Trolling Day, which is planning an organized trolling campaign against ISIS by assaulting their image through photoshopped images, memes, videos, and jokes related to the terrorist organization.
Ooh, okay, so we're going to take this kind of idea that Muhammad said that it's bad to put, you know, pictures of, it's Muhammad. Bad to use pictures, yeah, especially Muhammad, but I thought it was kind of like invoking one of the commandments, you know, don't have icons before me or something.
Well,
like
the
that.
Idea is that if you have graven images, it detracts from the...
Graven images, okay, so no pictures of dead people,
just
is
kind
that
of
it?
Moses got into that too.
We're not supposed to have pictures of dead people, okay, but the only one they care about is Muhammad.
Well,
and the only time that they care about it is if he's insulted.
Well, I think that the higher truth there is that if you look at an image of something else, then you'll see that as a cosmic divine thing, and you yourself aren't, right? So it creates a separation. So I think part of what the masters are trying to tell you is that it's no part of it is more divine than another, that it's all divine.
Okay.
You know, so that's why they don't want to have you. Anyway, that's
dear divine Dr. Future, it's time to go to a break.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right back. This is the Dr. Future Show. Stay tuned.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. I wanted to mention that the stories we're talking about, we have links at our links page at drfutureshow.com/links. So if you want to read more details about some of the things that we touch upon in our news section, that's where you go. Okay, and regarding the ISIS Trolling Day, you'll be able to go more at the Twitter hashtag Day of Rage. Day of Rage. Hashtag Day of Rage.
And then
And that's where you can put, you know, you can post insulting videos of ISIS, post photographs of captured ISIS members, mocking photographs of any kind along these lines. So it's there for you to make.
Okay, so if you're an ISIS member, you're going to like try and hurt someone and try and wreak some havoc and get the world to live in fear.
Well,
if you're a non-ISIS supporter, you're going to post some gnarly, farcical picture making ISIS look ridiculous.
Well, their campaign is trying to disrupt and dishonor them by rebranding the militant group as a joke, where they attack the ideas of ISIS that they're trying to spread online and see if the joke metaphor sticks as well as the fear one.
Right. Yeah. Somehow I'm just picturing like steam coming out of their ears, you know. They're already so humorless.
Well, how can, I guess you respond by humor by killing the humorous. That's typically, if you're serious, right?
Yeah, the old taking it too literally, kill them if they can't take a joke.
The Charlie thing in Paris, yeah.
Right.
I guess there is that slight daring.
You know, who wants to be part of a religion that is so serious that they think it's worth killing someone over something so stupid?
It's complicated.
You know, actually, there was some very interesting...
we have a guest in the second hour that will have some light on this, shed some light on this.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you go on to the next article if you want. I was just thinking of some of the, we've been watching some of the web footage from the peace conference, right? And in the peace conference.
In Paris, the Paris conference.
Yeah, the Paris peace conference.
And climate change.
That's right. Peace and climate change, the GCOP, right? The rhetoric there is that the whole focus on the idea that we're fighting with Islam and the old-fashioned, you know, the thousand-year-old caliphate, that it's still like the religious war that has been, you know, the cliche of the Western religious wars for the last 500 years, that's not really what's going on. That's just kind of another familiar ruse that we're being fed, when the actual thing that's going on is agricultural disruption due to corporate farming and agribusiness, and that you can really reduce climate change to monocropping, and you can reduce a lot of the societal disruption that's being attributed to Islamic fundamentalism to actual displacement of traditional farmers by corporate farming modalities, and that what we're really dealing with is the Industrial Revolution going to all parts of the planet and dislocating people from their traditions, you know, and that's what we're really dealing with.
Well, priorities are a matter of perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's just some of the interesting ideas. No,
I would see that. There are more important issues than a handful of terrorists who, and that's true, but we tend to focus on this because if it bleeds, it leads, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. And somehow, because we have been taught religion as a historical context, that somehow that makes the news more interesting, that it's like the religions fighting each other. But it's not. It's really about people looking for how do we sustain ourselves? How do we grow food that nourishes us? How do we provide for ourselves?
Yeah,
how
and
do we
Santa Cruz is a poverty? Great place for lots of that kind of activity. A lot of people we know here are into that for sure.
All right, we got a caller. You want to say hi to our caller?
Sure, who we got?
We have Nikki. Hello, Nikki.
Hey.
Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
How you doing, Nikki?
I'm good. You know, I'm a tech student, right? I do a lot of different things. I was going to UCSU as a tech student. Anyway, I have an idea for a video game, app, computer game, whatever, for ISIS. This could be a touch thing, or you could point at it with something, but we can get, like, ISIS-looking guys, and we could, like, blow them up, right? Like, there might be a crowd of people, but we get them before they get to there, right? But we also shoot them with bacon guns and pork pot stickers, and...
you have an imagination here.
No, man, this would go viral.
Flying pigs gone wild.
Then we have the pigs come in and chase them out, right? But I think we need to shoot them with bacon guns and pork pot stickers.
That'll drive them crazy.
Pizza and pepperoni pizza. And one of them might be hungry, and they might look at it like, nah, should I? Nah, should I? And they go to eat it, one of their other guys shoots them.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting app.
Whoa.
And it's my idea, and I want credit for it when it comes out.
All right, thank you. Well, you have it out there on the Dr. Future Show.
Forevermore.
Yes.
In the archives.
And if
thank
we see
you,
it, we'll think of you, Nikki.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you. I think it's fun to get your thoughts on it. We should do this with the political candidates that piss us off too.
Sure. You know? Have a trolling day for each of the lead contenders, huh?
Why not? You know, I mean, this is the age of being able to have fun with media.
Absolutely. You have the feeling like satire used to be disallowed, and that's one of the great things about America. We may have our problems, but we do believe in satire. We do believe in taking those serious people that are untouchable down a few notches through humor.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of our listeners in L.A., I think it was Greg, it was Richard, sent me this potential entry for a ISIS theme park.
Really?
Because they're all so theme park, right, Dennis?
Oh, definitely.
He sent me this really interesting video, which I have on the link, of a roller coaster that takes you up a very steep run and then down and then around some loops that bring in so much G-force that it kills you by the end of the ride.
Oh, my goodness.
So you go through...
suicide roller coaster riders.
Yes, and it creates
a way to go. You don't take anybody else out with you. It's voluntary. You give a little tithe at the door to the owners who could be like your mosque.
Yes, it's called the euthanasia coaster. And it apparently, when your G-force goes up, it takes the blood out of your head and it creates a state of ecstasy before you leave.
Oh, you can save all kinds of money on all that ammo that you don't need to be a suicide bomber?
Yeah, you know? Have a roller coaster ride to the next dimension.
Right, there you go. I've got to believe it's more moral. If you're going to commit suicide, it's got to be more moral to not take down other innocent people with you, but to really just like...
Recognize, you know, it's a personal...
Instant karma. It's your own destiny with the afterlife. You don't want to land there as a murderer and have all of those other poor victim souls like, you know, pissed off at you.
Unless you bought a bill of goods that taking others with you is applaudable.
Yeah, but I think that's a myth. I think the ones that actually are doing the suicide bomber are either enraged because they've been victimized by some injustice of war.
Remember we had Ayman on talking about this.
Yeah,
He was saying it was shame. He said the ISIS folks are shamed into their behavior.
Yeah, and they're not capable of feeling remorse because their entire lives they've been told that they're bad. Just by having very normal emotions, and they're trying to fit them into something that just disempowers them.
Yeah.
A lifetime of when someone is very confident in their abuse as a strategy of manipulating others, it can be very disempowering to whoever the victims of that abuse are. Hmm. So, you know, I would say abuse is abuse, and it's not a religious thing, but some people manage to use religion to convince others that they're disempowered.
Yeah, brainwashing of various kinds exists, but that's why the 60s revolution focused on thinking for yourself and questioning authority.
Yeah.
The two basic things to remember.
And that is what is going to save humanity from whatever dark shadows we have uncovered. People of the internet, as we people of free speech and open conversation about ideas, put out a lot more conscious awareness of what's really going on with humanity, not just the approved, sanctioned story.
That's why independent radio exists, so we can get some other memes out there besides the main ones that you hear all the time and those to think about. Like, and they're interesting ones, too. Like, for example, I ran into this really interesting article about whether or not fish have feelings. You know, fish have emotions. And,
oh, that's a good article. Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I took some pictures of some smiling fish just recently.
You know, our connection with the rest of the ecosystem is every bit as important as ISIS, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
But researchers both in Spain and the UK have observations that fish show an increase in body temperature, zebra fish, when they're subjected to stressful situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're inside a tank, uncomfortable, hot temperature for a long time, like 27 degrees centigrade for 15 minutes in their case.
Mm.
It's called emotional fever. And the scientists believe it's related to emotions that animals feel in the face of external stress.
So their body language is to change colors when they feel emotions? Like literally they turn red mad?
Increase in body temperature, 2 to 4 degrees centigrade. So they actually get hotter. So we knew that the emotional fever existed in mammals and birds and certain reptiles, but never in fish. But now it looks like fish may be responding to these emotions as well. We got to go for the news break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's time for our CBS News and then a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Okay, well, fascinating article on the zebrafish experiment on feelings.
Okay, drfutureshow.com for links, and we'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We have another caller on line one.
Yeah, we do. Hello, Anne-Marie. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Hey there, Anne.
What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I know it's late calling in, but I just wanted to comment on what you said, Doctor, about some people being basically so convinced within their own soul, mind, and spirit that their abuse is okay or the right thing to do, that they're basically insensitive and incapable.
Your voice just went down.
Yeah, something happened to your signal right there, Anne-Marie. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you just keep your microphone closer to the mic, I think would be good.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking your words, Doctor, remind me so much.
We can't hear you anymore. You it's like you went into a tunnel all of a sudden.
Okay.
I'm sorry, can you hear
me? Yeah, that's better. That's way better.
Sorry. I think I got water in the microphone.
Oh.
You remind me of the representatives of the Watchtower organization.
Jehovah's Witness?
Yes. Bless their heart, I know many of them, but bless their heart, they, among with, you know, other groups that, in the name of God, as Blaise Pascal said, that in the name of religion, so much evil has been committed, not not just with thinking that they're serving God, but almost with cheerful glee, because they're so convinced that the evil that they do is wrong. For example, letting their children bleed to death in the name of thou shalt not take in blood, thinking it's God's will, that's their belief.
Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely much more of the school of thinking for yourself, you know.
Yeah, it's just basically whether you're an extremist, like, you know, one religion that chops off heads or does horrible things, or something more subtle like shunning your mother, your father, your children, or your grandparents, or even dissolving your own marriage because there's a disagreement. This is an evil in any kind of, when you're not thinking freely for yourself and not realizing that you're not thinking freely for yourself. It's just something to consider. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. What a beautiful comment. I really find a lot of power in that. I think you're right on there.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I think that she's right on, and that the subject of religion is such an interesting subject because it's such a personal thing, and yet it's treated as such a group thing, right? I mean, religion is really about how you relate to your concept of what's sacred and divinity, and it's full of the traditions of what is sacred that you inherit from your family and your culture, and beliefs are personally held and they're commonly held, but they are still beliefs.
What about God, the one truth that binds us all?
Well, we have been struggling, I think, as humanity to come from a place where authority was to give you information when there were no facts. You know, there was no scientific method to verify things. And so authority was really just kind of whoever had the most confidence.
Well, from what I can see, a lot of religious authorities, they turn the connection with the divine into a toll road, and they put themselves in the collection booth.
Right, right. God told me to collect some money from you. Listen, we do have another caller. Let's say hello to Gordy from Boulder Creek.
Hey, Gordy.
Hi, Gordy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you for the welcome. I had a couple ideas here. Mm-hmm. I have a little comment about a negative experience I had. First of all, animals don't lie. Have you ever known an animal that lied to you?
Well, I have
wolf.
Had a...
I know a wolf that fools us all the time.
Yeah, we have a wolf who
But they're very sly. That's where
dog.
They have a way of tuning into you and, like, you know, getting what they want.
But, yeah, there are animals who like to outsmart you. They probably don't think of it as lying.
Oh, that's right. That's
they think of it as cleverness.
I think that's why people find hunting fun, because there's an element of interactivity that's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, just as an overgeneralization.
Okay, let's go with it. Let's go with your overgeneralization.
Sorry.
No, no, humanity is far more manipulative and controlling than any other species. Probably all the others put together. I'll give you that.
Well, my premise here is people lie and animals don't. Now, if, okay.
Yeah.
Now you've already, you know.
Sorry. Well, maybe our wolf friend is the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. All right. This is not a scientific hypothesis that I made here, just a general observation. Mm-hmm. And from that, I thought, well, gee, since human beings lie with regularity, it should be fairly easy, especially nowadays. You know, I worked in way back in the 60s in computer programming. And it was very difficult at that time to do a lot of things because they're too complicated. We didn't have the memory storage.
Sure.
We didn't have these warehouses loaded up with people writing software.
Yeah.
We have that today. So here's the idea. Mm-hmm. Number one, facial recognition software, which is already out there and is used in some crime labs, you know, for determining whether or not a person lies or not. Two, the voice recognition software, which has also been developed, that can see the changes in your tonal inflections and so forth and determine whether or not, with a high degree of probability, of whether or not you're lying. So,
if you don't even know you're lying? I think that's the worst kind.
Well, and you're assuming the machines know when we're lying, right?
Yeah, so why not? Now, here's the big idea. I won't copyright it. I'll hand it off to you. Okay.
Well,
application for your smartphone that determines when somebody is lying or not. We have that capability now.
Well, we probably do. And how is it useful to us? I understand that the average American lies about 60 times a day.
Yeah.
And I don't know how true that is. But anyway, you get the idea that lying is actually an intimate part of our belief system, obviously, and part of how we create our experiences in life. Otherwise,
wouldn't it be great to pull a cover off of this? especially when we're hearing all these political speeches, and you know these people are lying, but you can't prove it. If 10 million people out there with their iPhone, and they all say a 90% probability this person's lying, now you've got something you can hang your hat on.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm picturing something along the lines of American Idol, and everybody who is hearing the lie gets to vote, and then we see some kind of gauge that shows the general consensus.
Well, I think to start off with, it'd be kind of like Flash Mob.
Flash Mob. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then later on, people come in and regulate it, make rules and charge you fees. And so
make it fun. if you make it fun, if you make telling the truth fun or revealing your lies fun, then it probably would happen.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think you could get good ratings for a show like this. You know, it's kind of like best lie of the hour. Right?
Right.
People would totally tune into that.
Oh, darling, I didn't have my best orgasms with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And all the pundits could switch over to how they spotted the lie, you know? It's like, oh, I saw that he got nervous when he said that thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can see you can have a lot of fun with this. And in a more serious nature now, so many people they're so naive. And like you said, people expect people to lie all the time. It would be really nice if we had this truth machine available, to put it to the acid test. No pun intended.
Well, it is the 50th anniversary. We should, incorporate some of those thoughts into the meme stream here.
Yeah, okay. Now, my second thing was I've been having trouble getting internet coverage up here. It took me a month.
Did you call in and ask for coverage, Gordy? Was
that
you? For Boulder Creek?
Yeah. They couldn't find the property on their maps. Two, when I tried to give them a GPS location, they said, well, they don't do that. Three, they said that they needed to come survey the property, which last week they finally came up. The guy arrived late. He didn't bring a field strength meter or any other equipment, not even a compass. I bring them all the way back in here, and he says, oh, I can't see over the Empire Grade Road. And then he got real
concerned.
Yeah, concerned that he was going to be late to his next client's appointment. But what impressed me about this was the absolute non-professionalism from another number of standpoints. Whether this guy was a salesman or whether he was a technical person, he failed on all accounts. And I think
you're still stuck out there with no internet,
stuck, yeah, but what I recommend to people, look, if anybody comes up trying to sell you internet coverage or a dish or something, if they don't bring up the very basic essential tools to survey the site, send them on their way. They're wasting your time and everybody else.
Well, send me an email about it at future@kseo.com.
I can't send you an email because I can't get on the internet.
Well, next time you're in town, and I will do what I can to see what I can help.
Bless your heart.
With getting a better service.
Sorry
I'm not
about
sure
your
who your coverage is, but
Gordy.
But you shouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
I get signals up here, and this guy was technically just totally not knowledgeable about the tunnel effect. That's how I get all my signals up here. The UHF frequencies, which were close to the frequency he's talking about. I'm talking about 1 to 2 gigahertz, and he's talking about 2.5 gigahertz is where their signals run. I get this tunnel effect, so I can listen to stations down there in Salinas and Monterey. There's no direct line of sight. That's not true. There's a thing called tunnel effect. That's how your microwave oven works.
Yeah, they need to send a smarter agent to you, obviously, because you're somebody who wants to really understand the process and be part of it, and that's important.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, there's only two providers out there, SurfNet and Etheric, and I think Comcast, right?
Those
are
why don't you call the other one and see what happens? Options. Try the others, see if you get any better results.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
And send me in at future at KSCO when you get a chance, and I'll see what I can do to help you.
Yeah. Good luck, Gordy. Internet, it's out there. I'll send a drone
over your way.
Yeah, I'm in Boulder Creek. I'm not that far away.
Actually, this is how Google is planning and Facebook are planning to create ubiquitous coverage.
That's right. They'll have something in the upper atmosphere, either a drone or a low Earth orbiting satellite, which would blanket the entire planet.
But we're still waiting. It's the early
days.
The frontier. We're still homesteaders out here.
We're kind of still having 14.4 modems here.
Well, I'm still waiting for cable up here.
Well, at least your phone works.
Yeah, most of the time. That's another issue altogether. Well, thank you very much.
All right,
and I hope
Gordon.
You have fun with my idea about the lie detector.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks.
That's great. We need a theme song.
All right, listen. Nikki from Seascape, welcome to the show. We got to go to a break. Can you just hold on?
Sure.
All right, great. So, everybody, we're
I'm gonna... in Seaside.
You're in Seaside. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nikki in Seaside. All right, Nikki in Seaside. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors here on the Dr. Future Show. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We are going to go to our caller from Seaside, Nikki.
Hey there.
Yes, yeah. You hear us?
You can hear us,
oh,
right?
Oh, sorry. If I lose the signal, I'll call you right back. I got another idea for the video game.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. Okay. If you win the game, and you're, like, punching in your initials, like, mm-hmm. you won the game and stuff, the guy has to sit there, and he's got, like, electric explosives on him and stuff like that. He looks kind of nervous while you're typing in your name. You can take as long as you want to. In fact, it might be funnier to wait because he's, like, starting to sing, I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. And he's looking around to see if any of the others heard him singing that. And he's looking a little nervous, like, eh. And that's part of it he has to do.
He's going to do it before it blows up. Huh?
All right.
Yeah. He's singing Christmas songs, right? But he's like, oh, God. Right? And then all of a sudden you see, like, his arm blow off.
You should definitely send this to the ISIS site here.
Okay, so yeah. Nikki, you should go to our website.
Another one.
Okay, 30 seconds, and we got to.
Okay. So, of course, his head pops off and stuff like that. There was another point besides the pork. Hold on. Let me think. There was another really cool part about this.
All right, cool.
Okay,
thanks.
Thanks for that.
The ideas.
Send it to me at future@kso.com if you got some further ideas for these.
Okay, so we got a few more minutes. We got a few more headlines. Keep moving forward here.
Yeah, I think Nick Herbert wrote in and said, personally, I'd work at the meme that attracts all the kids to the ISIS, 72 virgins, for example.
Oh, you think that's what's going on?
Well, they're extracted by 72 virgins, right?
So
that's a recruitment meme.
Young men made crazy by their hormones that will believe anything.
Yeah. He says what would be a real deal breaker there would be the kind of sex you would have with virgins. It would not be the best, not be so great in the
sack. Well, yeah, but these young men could never possibly know that. But okay, Nick.
Anyway, that's,
Nick is as, a,
anyway,
as
a part
an
of
elder
another context
who
here
you know
with,
has had he is. Awake and aware,
he's answering the
passing
questions.
On his experience to how, all these men who are just longing for theirs.
And he was wondering about how many people did not join ISIS because of the information on the internet.
There you go. Probably way more.
Yeah, probably way more. I said, oh, I read that, forget it. Oh, dear.
All right. Let's see. We have another caller. It looks like Nick, perhaps. Let's see. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
I just remembered it.
Again. Okay.
So, sorry. Like, if you win the game and ISIS loses the game and stuff like that, and they take one of the guys that lost and you see this other guy come up behind him, right before you hear, the game ends, you go, roo, 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 right? You hear him go, I marry you. He bends him over something and you just see this wide-eyed look in the guy that lost the game for them.
You know
what they do when they say that, right?
You are a game designer, for sure.
That's what they say right before they rape. That gives them an excuse to rape women, and then they say, I divorce you, and then they go on to another one and another one and another one. So I got it.
All right. Thanks for that little insight. Appreciate it.
Well, it kind of ties into the second hour, too.
Yeah, it does. People can convince themselves of anything. We're sort of talking about lies and beliefs and authorities and the ways people delude themselves and each other. And I wanted to tell this story about a little kid once asked me, what is the difference? Like, basically, we were planning a surprise party for his father, right? And so this little four-year-old kid was saying, well, how come you're telling me not to tell him? That sounds like a lie. And how
do you keep a secret for a secret party?
Yeah, what's the difference between a secret and a lie, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's a very complicated question, especially for a very innocent kid who really can't tell the difference. For me, the way I answered the question for him at that time is that, well, the difference is that we're keeping a secret so that when he finds out, he'll be happier. And a lie would be if we were keeping a secret, and if he found out, he would be hurt by it. So maybe something like that. I mean, obviously, simplified.
Secrets for happiness, lies are for hurting.
Well, secrets and lies are all just part of how humans manage their communications with each other. If there's something I believe I shouldn't share with you, I'll have my reasons.
Yeah, you have your motivations for it. That's what detectives like to figure out.
That's right. And lies is really much more about people who think that they can manipulate others by being selective about what they share and what they don't. It has a very different
intention. What about propaganda?
Yeah, propaganda is definitely about manipulation through giving people beliefs that support your desire for an outcome.
Secrets or lies.
Secrets.
I love some of the stories coming out these days that really, I wouldn't say I love it, but the news story about how Philip K. Dick's story, The Man in the High Castle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very interesting story where as if in World War II, the Germans and the Japanese had actually won the war.
Right.
And how they have intrigue and lies and secrets and control issues happening in that world.
Right. That's it. Yeah, all the spies trying to pull off strategies without being caught by their, you know, by people who would be opposed to their strategies.
Yeah, the East Coast run by the
undermining
Nazis.
Undermining power.
East Coast run by Nazis, West Coast run by Japanese.
And the most powerful thing that they're all afraid of is basically a propaganda film that seems like it might be true that says that they actually lost the war
truth,
and
yes.
Everything that they're doing is based on a lie. So, you know, it's really complicated.
Well, didn't George Norrie have something like that the other night about somebody, the Nazis actually did win the war and that everything is being manipulated by them to look like they didn't or something along those lines?
A lot of conspiracy beliefs
but it's
are about
Philip K. Dick was the original thinker along those lines.
You know, when the Nazis escaped to the New World, they just kind of went into hiding and they're actually in charge now from a secret underground base somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, each belief system has its pros and cons.
Sure.
And other friends I've been writing about the Mormons, and one friend says, well, polygamy is indeed an attractive feature, but Mormons ban coffee. That's the deal breaker for me.
There you go. Yeah, you could think of religions as social clubs, right? If you want to share the same beliefs with people, or just like what you serve at the party.
Yeah.
You got to know what's polite and what's not, right?
And for each one has its rules, right?
Absolutely.
But we're a melting pot here. This is America. This is where we should be able to see each other's rules and have fun with them.
Right.
Respect them or evolve them. I mean, that's our job, to evolve each other's rules.
Yeah.
Viva la differences, so we can do that with each other. In the next hour, we're definitely going to be getting to that with our... I won't delve into that yet, but you're in for a really different type of Dr. Future show for the next hour when we deal with such things. In terms of dirty secrets and lies, there is a very interesting new search engine on the internet. Google is helping to power a new search engine built on a daily scan of the entire internet. Mm-hmm. They look at it for security aspects, for really understanding how the daily information can reveal secrets and lies on a global scale.
Right.
It's a search engine called Gensys, Jensys.
Uh-huh.
And it's helping researchers by looking at all the devices that are hooked up to it and looking at what they are, whether or not they're vulnerable to being hijacked or not, who has security and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have a complete map of everybody's security levels every day.
Right. They're looking for authentic users by looking at the users as devices.
I would imagine you look at MAC codes and stuff like that, you know, the things you need to register your machines with. And also the Internet of Things is going to have ways in which everything speaks to each other, whole code systems, for doing that more efficiently than even what we're doing now. But already they use things like MAC codes for tracking what's there and what it should be doing and what it's not. They also are able to ping these devices. Data can reveal what kind of device responded. You can get a sense of what's hooked up to the internet, whether or not suddenly there are thousands of more routers online, or perhaps there's suddenly a lot less cable users and more satellite, or vice versa. You'll be able to see these big trends in the evolution of the internet itself.
It's interesting. It's kind of like the machine mind meeting itself, right?
It's looking at itself, right? Yeah, or at least we're looking at it, and we're using it to look at itself. So, you know, we're leading into it. But it's basically humans looking at this thing they've created.
Well, the humans are asking a question. The humans are saying, is that a real user or is that a fake user? And they're doing that by analyzing the device. And does the device look like it belongs to a real user or a fake user? So it's kind of ingenious. Yeah.
And it will help make security more useful there.
Wow. That hour went really fast. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, folks, the Dr. Future Show is here on KSCO Santa Cruz. And we're going to be back after some news, traffic, weather.
With Wendy Sinoa.
So stay tuned. We'll be back.